except for when I moved Connor back last January. And that's a story for the next episode of the On the Road podcast.
Yeah. Thank the light, everyone. I am your alive Sedai. And these are my wolf brothers.
What's cracking?
Bienvenidos a Mexico.
Yo soy el número 209 in Mexico, the podcast. Wait,
that means we're number 209 in Mexico, motherfucker.
Yes, I want to say hello to all of our Mexican fans. I'm going to get a live right now, a live update on our Mexican standings. Let me see. Thank the light. Wheel of Time podcast. Daily rankings.
No. La Rueda del Tiempo.
At this exact moment, we are 214th in Mexico, and we have topped out this month at 208. Everybody in Mexico, you can get us above 200. Get us in the 190s. Here we go.
We're on a Mexican radio. Whoa.
So
I'm on a Mexican radio.
So this is my theory, and I couldn't figure it out. I wonder if it just got translated.
I know what happened.
For the Mexican audience, and they're just getting season one now. Like, why is it popular right now in Mexico?
Yeah, maybe.
Good point. Better than my theory. I thought maybe Jeremy's Bible friends and church friends went to Mexico for vacation and listened to us there. Oh, I'm on vacation. I'll binge 10 episodes of this. Wait, he's not even in the first 10 episodes, and they sound like they're in a well.
Jeremy's supposed to be on this show. They're using it to teach English in Mexico. Just watch eight episodes.
I really hope that's
well, please good. Don't do that.
Oh, no. I thought you meant our podcast.
Not us. No.
¿Qué es el bukkake way? ¿Qué es bukkake?
And my church is going on a mission trip to Mexico, but it's in January. So either
we're gonna go up then. Yeah.
Maybe this is a time episode. What are your time pop episode?
Oh, time pop. We're killing it in time pop is killing it in Thailand.
Oh, okay.
Is where we have topped out at number 8 in
what?
Thailand, motherfuckers. Number 8.
Get out of here.
Bring it on.
And Desmond only speaks a little bit of Thai.
Just sometimes. Well, that's fucking nothing. All the answers is number 1 in Belize. Number fucking 1 in Belize. In the spirituality, like not overall podcast ever, but in their genre, they're fucking number 1 in Belize.
I just want us to be number 1 in Serbia.
Sir, you're going for the Serbian audience?
I think the Serbs love us, right?
We can do it.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
There's no reason we can't.
Tell our brothers and sisters in Serbia, you know, keep listening to the show and get the word out.
Everybody out there listening to this, do me a favor. Because you know that other person listening, they're not going to do it. That other person listening, they're not going to do it. I need you to go rank Thank the Light. To go like, star, and write a review for Thank the Light. It doesn't even have to be an awesome, long, crazy review. Just a couple words saying, I don't hate this show. 5 stars.
Or yo soy me gusta.
You just said, I am, I like.
Well, you know, say it with proper Spanish.
How about, there's worse things to listen to until Lord of the Rings comes back.
There you go.
Okay, I could say that. Es lo mejor radio. Wait, hold on, let me think. Es lo mejor radio hasta Lord of the Rings regresan.
Boom. That's why we're number 209, baby.
Best radio till Lord of the Rings returns. I am almost fluent in Spanish.
We have a great episode for you today. Again, I love these episodes. I love like all of our off season last year talking about the books and bringing chapters on the books. It was so much fun. I'm a little frustrated with it now because I feel like we should be into our season 2. So I'm trying to stay positive because I do like these little tidbits and readings from the book and sparking conversation. I don't hate it. I do really wish we were watching season 2 and talking about that. But I do have some really good clips this week that I am clip this week. We're recording 2 episodes, but you're just going to hear one. Tonight, right now, you're going to listen to a little something from chapter 18 to the White tower. And this is Nynaeve and Egwene. I don't think they're actually in the White Tower yet. I think they're on the way to the White Tower, and they're in a tent, and some Aes Sedai are visiting them and trying to teach them. There's actually a lot here. This is one chapter where, like, trying to find the 5-minute period I want to listen to was really, really hard. So we're just going to kind of listen, and eventually we'll cut it off. If you want to, you know, if you're reading the books, great. If you're not really reading through all the books, but, like, either way, like, chapter 18, The Great Hunt, is a really, really cool chapter, even if you're like, I'm not fucking reading 15 books, but I am curious to go a little bit beyond.
Well, you fucking better.
The shows. I will. I'll get to it. Our listeners, it's not required reading for our listeners. You have to watch the show.
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have to watch the show. You can just listen to us talk about the show. Call it good.
I like, selfishly, I really like these because I like that you come with something, because I know I wish I would have had two people like us when I was reading it. I mean, that's part of the fun. If you like to read, I know you don't really like to read, but it's like, so it's part of the fun to be able, for me, it's like, I really like to hear your takes and, like, your questions and some stuff, because some of it's like stuff that I might've thought of. And then some of the stuff's completely left field. And I'm like, whoa, I never even thought of that. Lisa says some shit sometimes. I'm like, oh wow, holy crap, I never even thought of that. So I think it's cool. And I think it's cool for people who don't want to read 15 books, because they can like the show and then get, you know, a little bit of background or a little bit of fleshing out of stuff by just bits and pieces.
Because for me, I'm really enjoying the books, but I'm not going to read them 3 times a piece to really...
Dude, I love them so much.
And so for me to read it once and then be able to come to you guys to be like, okay, instead of me trying to figure it out myself on the third or fourth reading, we can just kind of hash it out, and then we'll see. We're going to come back to a lot of this shit watching season 2 and 3 and talking about where it did or didn't come from the book.
Jeremy, do you, here's a quick little side bet maybe for me and Jeremy. Do you think that, because I'm wondering if, I think when he gets, by the time he finishes Dragon Reborn, I think that might change. Well, I was middle of Shadow Rising right now, and I was like kind of slow, you know, sometimes. And it's like, then he gets to some part, and it's like, man, this is so good, dude.
Yeah. So after reading book 2 again, and I don't know, maybe because after the first couple times I read it, I've just powered through all the books, you know, to get to the next book.
Yeah.
I've been reading this slower just because of the way my life is.
Go back a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. And I realized.
Well, I do because I'm listening to it. So I'll go back.
Right. But what I realized is book 2 is kind of boring. There's a long.
You know what? It used to be my favorite, and I kind of changed my mind a little bit in that last read through.
You and I had that discussion about between book 2 and book 3, and you said book 3 was better. And I said, oh, no, that's not true. Now I think, you know.
Definitely better.
I haven't got to that point. Maybe the only thing that I disliked the most about book 3 was the fact that Rand is barely in it. Spoiler alert.
But when he is in it, it's fucking awesome.
Yes. And you get to hear the character point of views. Well, another thing I didn't realize, in the first 2 books, Matt's point of view is almost non-existent.
Very small.
If at all, now that I think about it. He almost never writes from Matt's point of view. He writes from Perrin's point of view. He'll write from maybe a little bit in book 1. You get some Matt's point of view, but I'm almost positive in almost there's almost nothing in book 2, which is strange because you get Perrin's, you get Egwene's, you get Nynaeve, you get Min.
You get Matt at the end of book 2 when he links back up with Perrin and Rand.
Yeah, you get a lot more character development after book 2. And then after the end of book 3, I think also because those 3 books were all written in a year or a year and a half.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. They all came out within like a year, a year and a half.
I think 2 and 3 were the same year.
1 and 2 were the same year. 1 and 2 were both 1990, I believe.
That's crazy. That's Stephen King shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, well, it's not that poor quality. Come on, let's go. But you guys are both drinking.
I was real close to a
spit
take.
All right, we got to stop recording because Justin and I just spit all over our fucking laptops.
Did you do it too?
Oh my gosh. You guys listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I've read a lot of Stephen King's books, but I've listened to some of the more recent ones that he's put out. Just utter garbage. Like everything I've ever listened, everything that he's done in the last 15 to 20 years, garbage.
Well, the middle is always good because it's just him.
Not anymore.
Really?
Not anymore. No.
Wow.
No. I would challenge you to find a book that he's written in the last 15 years that's any good.
Okay. Yeah, because the last one I'm thinking of Doom a Key, which is about 20 years ago. That's when his endings were getting garbage because he didn't know what the fuck.
And they're always garbage.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what do you mean when they're getting garbage, dude?
You think about it and the ending of that one, the actual
They managed
ending?
To save that in the new movie. I thought it was pretty terrifying.
Well, yeah. The first installment is actually so much better than the second installment, obviously. Yeah, so good. But yeah, some of the endings. The only ending that I thought was any
You're talking about the one with John Ritter. That one was really good.
Yeah, obviously. What are we, Tim Curry? Tim Curry's the scariest it, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
I think back to, I can see why book two would have been your favorite the first couple times through because they introduce so much. So it's cool. But then once you get to your fourth or fifth time through, you're like, okay, this just introduces it. I want to get to it.
Yes.
And then that's when I can see 3, 4, 11, 12, like when they start to suss out all the things they introduce.
Yeah. And the Battle of Falm and stuff and the Heroes of the Horn and everything when that comes up and it's like, You get to see kind of the Shan Chan and all their terrible might, and it's really good.
Yeah, and then the prophecies of Rand also, you know, start coming true with him getting the brands and everything. So you start to see his character develop quite a bit. Maybe that's why I liked it so much, because you get to see the hero's development. And then the third, you don't see that.
I just got through Ryudan, and they're on their way to Al-Qardai or whatever. Fuck, the place of the bowl or whatever.
Yep.
And so you're starting to find out there's a Forsaken or two around, and you know, Rand and Matt's trip to Riadan, and it's fucking
good. Real good.
It's good. It's good, good, good.
The Great Hunt, chapter 18, To the White Tower, minute 8.
What's the topic kind of, Des? Like, is you have like a question base, or is it just what's your...
It's just super... This is when Nynaeve and Egwene are learning the one power, or learning how to control it. And also, of course, there's a lot of politics going on because, you know, all the Aes Sedai's are super bitchy about Egwene and Nynaeve. If I could, I'd listen to this whole chapter, but I'm going to just chop out 5 minutes from the middle and we'll go from there.
Okay.
A sword, the Ammerlin said. I never thought swords were much use, even if you have the skill, child. There are always men who have as much and a deal more strength. But if you want a sword... She held up her hand. Egwene gasped, and even Nynaeve's eyes bulged. And there was a sword in it, with blade and hilt of an odd bluish white. It looked somehow cold. Made from the air, child. With air. It's as good as most steel blades. Better than most, but still not much use. The sword became a paring knife. There was no shrinking. It just was one thing, then the other. This now is useful. The paring knife turned to mist, and the mist faded away. But either takes more effort than it is worth. Better, easier, simply, to carry a good knife with you. You have to learn when to use your ability as well as how, and when it's better to do things the way any other woman would. Use the one power too often and too freely, and you can come to like it too much. That way lies danger. You begin to want more of it, and sooner or later you run the risk of drawing more than you've learned to handle. And that can burn you out like a guttered candle. Or, if I must learn all this, Nynaeve broke in stiffly, I would as soon learn something useful. All this. Make the air stir, Nynaeve. Light the candle, Nynaeve. Now put it out. Light it again. Ha! Egwene closed her eyes for a moment. Please, Nynaeve, please keep a check on your temper. The Ammerlin was silent for a moment. Useful, she said at last. Something useful. You wanted a sword. Suppose a man came at me with a sword. What would I do? Something useful, you can be sure. This, I think. For an instant, Egwene thought she saw a glow around the woman at the other end of her bed. Then the air seemed to thicken. Nothing changed that Egwene could see, but she could surely feel it. She tried to lift her arm. It did not budge any more than if she were buried to her neck in thick jelly. Nothing could move except her head. Release me, Nynaeve grated. Egwene realized that she was not the only one held. Let me go! Useful, wouldn't you say? And it is nothing but air. The Ammerlin spoke in a conversational tone as if they were all chatting over tea. The Ammerlin smiled. I've often wished I could use this to fly. The records say Aes Sedai could fly in the Age of Legends, but they aren't clear on how exactly. Not this way, though. It doesn't work like that. You might reach out with your hands and pick up a chest that weighs as much as you do. You look strong. But take hold of yourself however you will. You cannot pick yourself up. The light burn you, let me go! So, the Ammerlin continued, big, hairy man and so forth. He can do nothing to me, while I can do anything at all to him. If I had a mind to, I could turn him upside down and paddle his bottom. Suddenly, the Amaryllis flew backwards so hard, her head rebounded from the wall, and there she stayed, as if something were pressing against her. Egwene stared, her mouth dry. This isn't happening. It isn't. They were right, the Amaryllis said. Her voice sounded strained, as though she found it hard to breathe. They said you learned quickly, and they said it took your temper burning to get to the heart of what you can do. She took a struggling breath. Shall we release each other together, child? Nynaeve, floating in the air with her eyes ablaze, said, you let me go right now or I'll... Abruptly, a look of amazement came over her face, a look of loss. Her mouth worked silently. The Amaryllis sat up, working her shoulders. You don't know everything yet, do you, child? Not the hundredth part of everything. You did not suspect I could cut you off from the true source. You can still feel it there. But you can't touch it any more than a fish can touch the moon. When you learn enough to be raised to full sisterhood, no one woman will be able to do that to you. The stronger you become, the more Aes Sedai it will take to shield you against your will. Do you think now you want to learn? If you had a hair less potential than you do, child, I would send you to the Mistress of Novices and tell her to keep you the rest of your life. And now, the Amaryllis said firmly, unless you would like further demonstration, we will get on with your lesson.
I could listen to this forever, so Des, you can stop it whenever. This is a good chapter. I love it. It's one of my favorites. I thought it was the one you were talking about.
Because I thought for a minute they were going to go into another lesson. I forget that they kind of breezed past it, so that was a perfect place to stop.
What are your questions, first of all, or like comments, or, you know, why did you like this clip so much?
Well, as a new book reader, and, you know, at this point, only 1.5 books in, it was just like, holy shit. And it just kind of like...
It's just a dick swinging contest for channeling women.
Yeah, well, and it's so like, you know, there. It doesn't seem to be like a standard Aes Sedai training situation like a Jedi would go through.
It absolutely isn't. It's very much off the books type of thing.
But they kind of pretend like it's like you're going to go to the White Tower and you're going to learn. But then like once you get taken into the fold, it's just kind of... a free-for-all of information and knowledge and testing and...
Well, and I feel like their situation's very rare. I mean, Jeremy, I mean, back me up here. Like, you are usually a novice for years, you know?
Yeah. Since we're going with the Jedi whole thing, their Nynaeve's way that she is taught is more like how Luke Skywalker learns. He's kind of way older, so he gets thrown into it, taught in different ways and kind of pushed along. Whereas, and even Egwene, but more so her is less like that. Most of the other novices is like, you know, the Jedi kids. They come there when they're younger. They learn. They grow up through the ranks. They progress at the same, you know, relative, you know, pace. You start off as novice. You're a novice for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Then you move to the accepted. You're an accepted for 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
And as you're going up, people are sloughing off who...
Exactly.
Nynaeve has the arrogance of Anakin, though, once she figures out that she can channel.
Say that again.
She has the arrogance of Anakin. Jesus Christ. She has the arrogance of Anakin when she figures out she can channel and figures out how strong she is. And this is an example of when she's acting very fucking childish for someone who's supposed to be the wisdom.
Yeah. And also, it's the same thing that we've said before. She is... like a superstar athlete that's never had to really work hard for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everything's just come so easily to her. She was, you know, probably smarter than most people when she was growing up. She was definitely more powerful. She had this ability to understand the herbs and things, but that wasn't really what was healing people.
And with safety being her prime objective.
Yes.
Her stubbornness worked well because at the end, she's like, did anyone get raped? Did anybody get raped? I didn't think so.
Exactly.
I didn't think you're welcome. But it also kind of fucks him over at times, too, because she's, you know, her arrogance gets her in trouble. You get to see a real healthy dose of Swan Sanchez arrogance, too, because Nynaeve humbles her a little bit because Nynaeve absolutely should not be able to snap the power up and slam her up against the wall like that. She should be able to cut that weave down or wrap it up. And, you know, they're trained in that kind of shit. It should. Nynaeve is so strong that and she was quick with it and she could not stop her. And not only that, she couldn't stop her. She couldn't break it.
Yeah.
She wasn't cut off from the power and she couldn't break it.
And you guys have kind of answered this before, but how much is the hierarchy of Aes Sedai based on power?
100%.
Well, not 100%.
But the Aes Sedai is the Aes Sedai because she can choke everyone else out with a weave if she wants to.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. It's, yeah.
But also amongst the Aes Sedai, they will start to rank themselves on how strong they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the three of us are raking each other, Des, you're the strongest. Justin, you're the second strongest. I'm the last. We will recognize that in each other. And then we'll just start being like, okay, well, Des is in charge. And then if Des isn't here, then Justin's in charge.
Or you'd be like, okay, Des does this better, but I, you know, like, what's the, like, you said, like there's some people that are just really fucking good at something. So like in the general sense, maybe I'm at the top, but I always know, and you always know, that if I back you in a corner and you whip out, you know, the skimming, you can skim yourself around.
I'm a faster gun than you.
Yeah.
Pew!
You might be a better aim, but you don't want a quick draw with me, motherfucker.
Yeah. And they kind of allude to the fact, too, that the higher ranking, like the Amerlin, is always picked among one of the she is always almost always one of the strongest people in the tower. And it's so it's like at the time before Nynaeve and Egwene and those girls show up, it's probably like Moraine, Swan, and a couple other ladies that are all like in the top. They're the top. And then when Egwene and Elaine show up, they're stronger than them by quite a bit. And then when Nynaeve shows up, she's stronger than all of them by quite a bit as well.
So how often, like, I know that like the tower is about ready to enter a serious upheaval. That's a big part of, you know, this whole story. But in general, like, how often is the Amerlin replaced?
It lasts. It's like usually you're elected for life.
So it's an election. It is an election.
Well, it's not an election. It's kind of. It's like a vote. It's they do a vote with the hall. And so, okay, that's why I want you to catch up, because one of the things I did find really interesting, spoiler alert, it's in the fourth book, Shadow Rising, right? There is some shit that goes on in the tower. And one of the things I didn't realize, it's like what you're talking about with the power and being strength. Like, so Elida is basically the same strength as Swan Sanche, but nobody fucking likes her. And Swan Sanche was very good with diplomacy. She was blues. She was like the head of the blues, eyes and ears. So she had, that's another kind of feather in her cap, if you will, as far as like popularity and power rankings, if you will. It's like, if you're that close on the level of being in the power, then you start to look at the secondary things as far as Amerlin and who could lead the best. And I think that Elida was one of like, I know that Elida was one of her main adversary when it came to being like elected the Amerlin seat or whatever. It was like came down to her and Elida lost.
And so it's a vote, but it's a lot of like,
it's very politicking. It's like, you know, Jeremy, you might know,
probably an open vote too. So it's like,
yeah, well, there are circumstances, and I don't want to give away too much, but they, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we called the vote on Sunday and, you know, we had the bare minimum of senators to get it passed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's shit like that. And it's that's some shit like that is kind of what leads to the division in the tower.
All the reds are on a hunt, so let's have a quick vote.
But not that. It's kind of the opposite, but yeah.
Then Jar Jar calls for a special council, and then the next thing you know, you got Elida Palpatine.
Chancellor Palpatine has emergency powers.
Who's the Jar Jar of the Wheel of Time universe?
Who's the Jar Jar of the Wheel of Time universe? Oh my God, that's a great question. I might have to think about that. Who is the Jar Jar?
Right now, Misa thinks it's Perrin.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, that's a great question.
That's a great question. I don't know if they're,
See, this is what it leads to, Justin, when you're like, what questions do you have about this chapter? I'm like, let's see what happened. Like, that was not on my question list 10 minutes ago.
It's a good question.
Is it Aram?
Get out of my brain!
It might be Aram.
It could be Aram. I was really thinking Aram. I'm like, could it be Aram?
He unintentionally screws up a lot of things. Who unintentionally, with good, you know, has good intentions, but ends up killing lots of people? I'm gonna have to think about that.
I think it might be.
No.
Maybe, dude, if it were going straight books, it might be a who?
It's Gawain. He's always fighting. He thinks he's fighting on the right side. He's always fighting on the wrong side. He ends up killing good people for the wrong reasons. It's Gawain.
Dude, I'm tweeting that right now.
And guess what? Everybody hates Gawain.
except for the people that love him.
That's true.
God, I wish I knew the Myers-Briggs personality types better, because I just found a website that lists all of the Wheel of Time characters on the Myers-Briggs scale.
Is that the numbered scale?
No, that's the Enneagram.
Oh, God.
This is the INTJ, EFNJ, ENTJ, ISTJ, ESTJ, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. If Kelly was here, Kelly would know. She's had to do this a lot for work. Her and I just did our Enneagram scale recently. And it was so funny because I was listening to, because they talk about the Enneagram a lot on All the Answers. And I was editing an episode today. And Katie was talking about being an eight. She's heavy on the eight. And she was talking about how she would deal with a situation. I was just like, that is so not, you know, but I was like, I could see myself getting into that, but I would deal with it so fucking differently. And then I just did the Enneagram. So I was like, I wonder what I rate on the eight.
And you're at low.
Negative 10.
Okay. My wife's friends got into that Enneagram thing for a while. And oh, God, it used to drive me nuts. So I was like always making fun of them. I'm like, oh, you're such a three. Oh, my God. That's such a thing a 2.5 would say. I bet you're a four with a, you know.
Wow.
She got so mad at me, too.
So after this, it's funny. So you can see how well your wife knows it. Tell her I'm a one with a strong 9 and 2 wing.
I'm getting flashbacks.
It's like I got to write it down and throw it in the fucking fire.
I have to write it down. Desmond, I am so disappointed in you.
Okay.
So if Gowan is the Jar Jar, then who's the R2 and the C-3PO? Bella. It's got to be Bella, right?
Bella's R2. Bella's R2 for sure.
Bella's, yeah, exactly. She's always in the background, always doing stuff behind the scenes. She's always there to give the ride to somebody who needs it.
Dude, C-3PO could almost be Matt because he's always just bitching. But Matt's got to be Han Solo, so there's no way that works out.
Yeah, that's true. He has to be Han Solo.
We got so far off topic. I fucking love it. This is what you're doing to us, Wheel of Time. Oh, so is that basically picking yourself up? Like she says, you can't pick yourself up. And you said basically skimming is a lost art.
No.
No.
Okay. No. No.
They just don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to skim either anymore. No one else can skim.
It's like traveling.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Which traveling is like.
They don't know how to do that either.
So it's like picking yourself up and.
No, traveling is opening a door. It's just.
Oh.
Like, I'm in one spot. I open a door. Like I literally just open a door to another spot and I walk through it and then I'm there instantly. Skimming is I open a door. I step onto the boat or platform. It moves to where I get to another spot. But.
That's right. It's the Scooby-Doo Hall of Doors. That's what skimming is.
It can be. Sort of. Yeah. It's whatever you want it to be. It could be a set of stairs, but a Scooby-Doo Hall of Doors would be great.
But just one door at the end. Just one door at the end. There are things like, okay, so a couple of things. You see that they're foreshadowing Suan's downfall a little bit. They're foreshadowing how much Nynaeve has to learn still, no matter how powerful she is. They're showing you how even, okay, you were saying that, you know, she's Luke Skywalker, or what? She's, you know, Nynaeve is basically Luke Skywalker, whatever kind of Anakin amalgamation with her temper and stuff. I would say Egwene is someone who was like a Sith acolyte and then went to light because she, you know, she was kind of doing it a little bit. She found out she could channel and then boop. What?
I'm that's one. I think I've been pretty consistent in beeping that out. No, it's fine. It's fine. We still have to have this conversation, but
some shit happens to Egwene and she starts to, you know, she really, her way of channeling is, we'll just say, definitely not the way the people in the tower learn. Oh. And they don't focus on going slow. They don't give a fuck if you get burned out, and they teach you stuff. Like they teach her how to blow shit up, how to find ore in the mountains. Cause she's really, that's one of her talents with the capital T, is she can find gold or silver, like deposits of minerals and stuff that are good, and draw them out with the power.
Do we ever find out who anyone else is in past lives? Or is it only Rand that we know?
I think it's just Rand.
So we never find out if Egwene and Nynaeve were fucking badasses last time either.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, they'd have to be, wouldn't they? You'd have to be, right?
I mean, they give hints that Matt is, for sure.
Everything we know, we would have to assume they would be badass in their next lives. So there's no I mean, I guess if you're not discovered, maybe you don't. But if you're that fucking powerful, like, eventually you're going to realize that you're talking to the wind. The wind isn't talking to you.
Well, I think I'm going to go with no, because at a certain point, Matt has a conversation with one of the heroes of the Horn. And they're like, he's like, am I, Matt? I think Matt asks him. He's like, am I one of you guys? They're like, nope, but you're probably going to be this time.
Huh.
Like after this life, you know, like when you die now, then you'll probably be, you know, you'll probably get attached to the Horn because you're definitely a hero. And actually, there's someone that is in this series that dies and returns with the final blowing of the Horn.
But that's different than, like, if you're that powerful with the source, I mean, that would have to be, like, attached to your soul.
I would think you were somebody, but you don't ever, yeah, but I don't think anybody ever really, certainly not like Rand, right, Jeremy? I mean, certainly not that to that extent.
Yeah, and most of the people that you hear about that are attached to the Horn don't channel.
Right.
Yeah, none of them channel. None of them channel. None
right,
of them.
And I understand that the whole, but that's different to me, Lee. Like I'm just talking about the source. Like, if you're that powerful.
It's safe to assume you might have been a badass in your previous life. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty safe to assume.
Power doesn't lead to heroism, though. Not always.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, like, Nynaeve and Egwene were.
It's about the deeds of the life, I believe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they could have been. I mean, if the tower has been around that long, I mean, they could have been anything in their last time in life. They could have been a red or anything like that. But I was basically, I just kind of assumed there for a minute that, like, people this powerful only came around once a generation. So you start to kind of connect the dots. And it's like, well, we haven't seen anybody like you, like Nynaeve, since so-and-so.
Totally. But think of it like this. There's, like, you get some of this with Ishmael, Jeremy, you know, I know you know what I'm talking about. They start kind of talking about stuff like that. And he's like, you've probably been born 100 times and never made your destiny, never even realized you could channel, died for some weird reason, got assassinated by the shadow, you know, tons of things. So, you know, maybe Nynaeve was a fucking housewife, farmer's wife, or a wise woman, you know, like a herbs woman, you know, in her previous lives too, and never even realized how much of a badass she was and how much she could channel until this turning when it was necessary. She just happened to be, she spun out in the right place around Rand and was a part of that, even like Tavirin, you know?
Yeah, I mean, both make sense, but I'm just thinking of someone who, if you're that fucking powerful, like, you know, I mean, in that, yeah, I guess Rand is so much more. I was going to say, in that sake, I mean, there's no telling that, you know, Rand couldn't have been a nobody in a past life, but he's fucking always Luz Theron in every life, right?
I mean, I would think so, like I said, but I think sometimes that, like, there's been several where he doesn't realize it, you know?
Yeah, I think, and I don't know that, you know, Robert Jordan ever talked about, is channeling ever, is it tied to your soul? So, you know, maybe one life you born and you can channel.
That's true. Maybe you don't channel every life unless you're someone who's like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good question, actually.
It's a genetic thing. That is one thing that is brought up, I believe, that he says.
It is definitely genetic, like force users.
Oh.
If you can both channel, your children will channel pretty much 100%.
Really?
I believe it's a lot more genetic. So it just depends on maybe who you're born to. And so maybe it's not tied to your soul, you know, but it is tied to your life that you're going to lead this time around.
Yeah. And I guess it would make sense that, like, this is such a universally huge coming together that, like these stars are only going to cross once every 3,000 years, once every 10,000 yes. years.
Nope. 15,000 years.
Literally as you're coming to the end, that is like one of the main lessons. I don't know, and maybe lesson's not the right word. One of the things that towards the end Rand really starts to realize is the mistakes that he made were just thinking he knew best when he was Luz Theron. And he's realizing this time that it's like, I have to, you know, kind of flip it on its head how I'm thinking about this problem. And realizing realizing that he did that, though, yes, this was the mistake that I made and I have to be the one to fix it, not in an arrogance way, and just like, dude, I fucked this up and I gotta make it right and I think I know how, and if I don't, it's like he comes to like a place of peace of where it's like the reason that we all get chances and get spun out in the wheel over and over again is to fix to things that we didn't get to fix and to love the way we didn't get to love. And that's why you keep getting other chances, is to be better every time.
I'd buy that.
And I thought that was really cool about it, because it's like, you know, you always get another opportunity to be better.
Bro, my audio stopped recording a little minute ago, so the last couple minutes are gonna have to.
Perfect. Any last this is so great. See, that's what I'm liking about that's one thing I am liking about these conversations, is that like I bookmarked this stuff so long ago, like I don't remember what my, like, oh my God, I gotta ask Justin this. Oh my God, I hope Jeremy can clear this up. But like, I love the kind of random directions that, you know, it's weird what a random, seemingly random 5 minutes can spark in us to get going.
Yeah, I'm totally excited for you to get to Dragon Reborn too, because I think it will be relevant for this season. And I think you'll have a lot more like, whoa, like not questions as much as like, hey, this was badass, because you're finally getting into the lore. You got the lay of the land as far as like the world he's created. And I think there's going to be like, you know, some of the clips I brought you, like, you know, the Gawain Matt thing, really, when you're in the middle of the story and then you get to it, you're going to be like, oh.
And on that note,
I loved our Star Wars comparisons to the Wheel of Time. And I want to know, like, who's the Count Dooku of Wheel of Time? And who's the Darth Maul of Wheel of Time? And who's the Tehao of Wheel of Time?
Everybody out there, feel free to write in if you have a deeper knowledge of the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs.
Tehao?
No.
Send it in. Send it in! Give us the comparison.
Fucking send it.
And I want to know, like, I want to do, like, the Harry Potter comparisons. And the Star Wars comparisons. And on that note, welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. Thank the light, everybody, for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parseilman on Twitter. Send us questions and comments and personality breakdowns. And I might have cut out part of this conversation at the beginning of this episode, but I'm thinking about doing something super random for our last episode this year, since, you know, we're digging into the books. We're having fun with this, but season two isn't here. I want to keep it on the fantasy tip, and I think it'll be fun for us to do, you know, go into even more weird comparisons. We're leaning hard towards Willow, but if you have any other ideas out there of classic fantasy movies that you might enjoy hearing us talk about as we get more and more off track, waiting for season two of the Wheel of Time show.
My vote is for Princess Bride or Beastmaster.
Ooh. The only reason I want Willow is because
it's got relevance.
I know, blah, blah, we want to promote it, but man, I don't like Willow. It's boring. Oh, you know what? That's great, because let's talk shit about it the whole time. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, well, that's my job.
Nah, books were better. There isn't a Willow book, Dick.
Oh, yes, there is.
I knew there was.
And you know what, Justin?
And I hate myself.
Even if you don't watch it beforehand, if you just throw it on in the background while we're recording, that's fine. We won't tell anybody. It'll be our little secret.
That's not true. I'm going to tell everybody.
They're not going to know.
They're going to know.
Because I'm going to tell them.
That's right.
Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy and spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers. If you want to hear another prison story, check out the newest episode of All the Answers, because we got one on there too. Truth Not Trends, Time Pop. We're doing K63. If you're a podcast listener, which something tells me you are a podcast listener, head on over to Spotify, listen to K63, and then listen to the Time Pop episode on that. Be Brave. Just go listen to Be Brave. Do yourself a goddamn favor. Go listen to Be Brave. And that fitness couple, they are blasting off. They have been around for a month and they are charting all over the place. So get on that bandwagon. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. Put your dagger in that horn box.
Why does that get me every single? And let me just say this. Why would you be a bard if you could be a gleeman?
And who's the boss Nos of Wheel of Time? And who's the Lobot of Wheel
who's
of Time?
Who's the Jabba? Who's the Jabba?
Who's the Yaddle of the Wheel of Time?
Yaddle.
These are the questions that we're thinking about all week.
I'm a gray Jedi, and that includes with Star Wars too. It's like,
oh my God, they don't exist. That has been retconned out.
Please. What?
What? No, it is not. Shut up.
There's no such thing as gray Jedi. What are you talking about?
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. I gotta go.
All right, I gotta go too. You guys have a great time.
May you always find water and shade.
Hashtag Billy Zane as is mine. Wait, one time. Ready? Hashtag Billy Zane as is mine.
May Jeremy continue to suck it easy.
I've had to pick Desmond up from fucking doing Matador to cars on the Ave so he didn't get arrested again.
And he's picked me up from jail when I did get arrested.
That's right, because I'm a good friend.
Actually, you picked me up both time I got arrested. You picked me up in Seattle when I got arrested.
I went to Montana and got
And you went to Montana to drive me home when I got arrested.
Wow.
The answer is love all along.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Executive producer says no. What? What are we talking about again here? Sorry, I spaced out for a sec. That's so dumb. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's stupid.
Turds. You're both turds. I hope you're listening to this, Des.